awesome morning party.
Get ready, gentlemen. Brace yourselves. This is it.
3, 2, 1.
Oh, Thursday.
Yeah, yeah. Bring it on, Thursday.
Thou art the bane of my existence, Thursday.
The weekend is so close and yet so far away.
Yeah, yeah. It's here, the last day of July. Gone will you be, and we will be in Teo's birthday month.
Yeah!
And shall hear of tell of it every day.
That's right, every single day until I get $1 million.
Oh, man. We got a great show today, I'm excited. B-Nix is all fired up. He came back yesterday to talk about Theology Thursday.
Yep.
Jarrett's out of town.
When the cat's away, the mice will play.
If you know what I say.
Know what I say.
I was trying to rhyme.
We should do breaking news right now.
Oh, right now? Right now?
And ruin
it's
everything.
It's so early.
We should ruin everything.
Just ruin it?
We should do Theology Thursday right now.
Right
without
now.
Being with- And then when he shows up, we can say, we already did it, man.
Hey, man, we did it. We did it
at
6:19 a.m.
We had a secret one with Jarrett.
Yeah.
He'd be like, okay.
9 a.m. Theology Thursday.
Tune in. It's going to be a good one today. We got some good questions on emails, and Beenix has a good topic that we can go to if we don't get any calls.
That's right. Of course, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, our boy Clay Schroff will be joining us from the Aspen Project as well. That's going to be awesome.
Bow, bow, bow.
And the question of the day, why do cars suck?
Because they are... machines.
Ah.
Built by humans.
Okay.
If the machines were building the machines, they'd probably run way better.
Yeah. My car broke yesterday.
His car broke. Car
bumming
broke.
Bumming rides. Gonna be bumming rides for a while. Till I figure out what's wrong with it.
What's gonna happen in your life tomorrow?
I say until they figure out what's wrong with it. When they figure out what's wrong with it, what's gonna happen is I'm gonna go...
Then you're going to be broke.
I don't have that kind of cash.
First your car broke, then you be broke.
Dave I'm Ramsey. Broke. So, I may just sell it. I got you.
Sell it.
I'm just going to sell it, have you drive me every day.
Sounds good. I'll take all the money you get for that car. It'll be great. I found a mint.
Ooh.
And I opened it. I wish I hadn't. I'm going to set it right
It's
here.
Way too early for that mint.
No, it's not. It's never too early for a mint.
Coming up around the corner, we're going to be giving stuff away. It's Trivia Thursday.
Yes, it is.
We have copies of Noah on Blu-ray combo pack featuring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. You know Noah. The
I just got an email, and the subject line is... Hang on, let me look.
Ooh.
The subject line is, now at the box, Noah.
Oh.
You can figure it out. And I thought... Whatever.
Do they know who we are?
Do they know me?
We got it!
I said, we can... We're going to give away copies of that movie.
Yeah.
I don't need it at a box.
Featuring Russell Crowe, Emma Watson, Jennifer Connelly, Anthony Hopkins, the story of courage, sacrifice, hope, boats, rain,
hope,
bad guys...
Hope floats.
Rock monsters.
Rock monsters. Darren Aronofsky's vision.
Yes. Noah Blu-ray combo pack, courtesy of Paramount Home Media Distribution. We have copies we will be giving away for Trivia Thursday. So keep it locked for that. Coming up in un momento, we do have breaking news. That's, 6:30-ish.
It's a staple of your day.
It really is.
If it's not, then you're dumb. Why don't you go listen to 106.7?
Oh, no!
That's where all the dumb people go.
Tell Ashley we said hi.
Tell her she's dumb, too.
It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Dumb.
Static.
Get ready for a jolt. Ready?
Wake up!
It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Wake up!
On Static Radio.
And here comes trouble. Here comes trouble.
Turn on the news.
I have a little news flash.
We interrupt for this breaking news.
It's time time has come. Doug, are you prepared?
Oh, great.
Did you get a text?
No, he's not prepared.
Today is July 31st, 2004. We have reversed 10 years.
Oh, man, you don't even want to know what's going on in my life.
I don't have an iPhone, so I can't know.
I have one child. Life's great, man.
I can't know this.
I think I'm going to leave. I think I'm going to go.
Okay, Doug, are you born yet?
No.
Doug's not born
yet. Doug's not born.
Gosh.
Two of my kids aren't born.
We really ought to look into child labor laws.
I want to go live life, man. I got to go. Okay. I can't be confined here anymore.
190,000, that's the number of the day. That's delivery vehicles owned by the U.S. Postal Service.
Oh, I'm going to buy one.
No, you are not.
I can't buy anything cool because, you know, I got kids. Although, if it's 2004 and I have one, I should start saving now.
Fast forward. We're back at 2014.
Oh, dang it. Yeah, I'm gonna buy a Postal Service car that's all old and broken down because that's what I can afford.
To replace your car.
Yesterday, I was talking with Nate, who bought a Harley, and I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, it's the one Jax has. And I was like, cool, man.
He said he's not even going to watch the show anymore.
Yeah, no bigs. He bought Jax's Harley!
NASCAR has suspended Denny Hamlin's crew chief and car chief for 6 races after Hamlin's car failed inspection. We were talking about this. How do you expect to get away with that in NASCAR? It's not like you're driving anywhere. They're watching you the whole time you're driving in that circle.
It's like, man, Denny Hamlin's car is like 20 miles per hour faster than all the other
cars. Pretty sure. Yep. That was a rocket booster.
Yeah.
What? And then they pull you over and you're like,
What? Huh?
What are you talking about?
What do you mean?
You don't have any evidence. And it's like, excuse me, sir. Me and all these hundreds of thousands of other idiots that watch you drive around in a circle all day long, we saw your stupid rocket booster on your car.
Yeah, you can't have rocket boosters on your car, Denny Hamlin.
Denny
Hamlin!
An Indiana man has won a $1 million lottery twice in the last 3 months.
I should ask him if he'll buy me that.
He's got money to spare.
I just want a cooler motorcycle than Nate.
You ready for this? Astronomers announced that they have determined that our galaxy, the Milky Way, is a wimp. Oh. Weighing far less than similar-sized galaxies. We're the runt of the litter.
Great.
It makes sense that the runt of the galaxies would be the one that contained life.
Right.
Of aliens. Alien life forms. They're gonna come get you.
Not real.
Gonna get you.
We should talk about that on Theology Thursday.
Aliens gonna aliens. Get you. Aliens gonna get you.
Aliens gonna get you.
Tonight.
Yeah.
The National Labor Relations Board issued a landmark ruling paving the way for McDonald's employees to unionize.
Ugh. Nope.
Yeah.
No.
Yep. If it was Burger King, then I could have made a have it your way joke.
Yeah, well, that would be good.
But it's not Burger King, it's McDonald's. Golden Arches.
Union fries.
Looks like they're going to be lining their pockets with those Golden Arches.
Ugh.
Mm. A water main broke at UCLA, flooding the campus with 10 million gallons of water. That sounds cool. I bet those college kids had a ball. I wonder if that In-N-Out got flooded.
Right, it was right there, right where we were.
I know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I hope it's okay.
Allegedly, they're going to be okay for football because it flooded some practice facility and all kinds. It was crazy.
It is crazy. You know what else is crazy? Big news going on with House of Heroes. I can't really talk about it on the air, but I can post it on Facebook. So if you're wondering what it is, you better go to our Facebook and check it out, you dummy.
If you call them dummy, they're not going to want to go there.
They're
idiot.
Dumb until they find out the knowledge. Smart man.
Ugh. Whatever, moron.
Whatever, kind soul.
Whatever, simpleton.
Whatever, respectable adult father.
I'm out of insults. I don't know another kind way to call somebody stupid.
Maybe you can come up with one in your next sermon.
Oh, man.
Conviction.
Heaping burning coals, heaping burning coals, I'm heaping burning coals on all of my friends. Do it every day so that I can get by, because I hate everybody on the inside.
Oh my gosh.
What? Study from the University of Kent proposes that clues to the early history of life on Earth may be found on the moon, since it's likely that meteors from the Earth that crashed in the moon carried with them fossil records.
Oh.
You mean to tell me that the Earth was throwing meteors at the moon like a jerk?
I guess so.
I have more in common with Mother Earth than I thought.
Mm.
Hello, Mother Earth. You have passed on your jerky traits to me. I've been throwing rocks at Doug all day.
Yeah.
Doug, you are my moon.
You know what they say about throwing rocks in glass houses?
What?
Stuff will get broken.
They say if you throw a rock in a glass house, then Nate will get a Harley and you won't. How do you feel?
I'm gonna go throw some rocks.
The Surgeon General has made the strongest statement ever against tanning and tanning beds. That statement being, look at those things, they'll kill you.
Yeah, that's a bold statement.
Bold. I wonder what the statement actually was. It was right. Like, what if it was like, we have determined that you can possibly, you more than likely gonna get skin cancer, so... Really strong, strong statement.
Poor Surgeon General, man. He's been trying to, like, keep people healthy forever. You see the little warning on the side of the cigarettes, and it's like, Surgeon General warning.
Hey, goes,
this will give you cancer.
What is that? What an idiot.
Why?
Surgeon General.
What does that mean?
What, are you in control of the table? What, people, like, you doing surgery, and you're like, oh, he's in charge. Yeah. Look out for him. He's going to make the calls. Scalpel. Scalpel. I concur. Yes. Surgeon General. The latest study indicates that even extremely short, high-intensity workouts have big health benefits.
Huh?
People over 60 showed rapid improvement in chronic problems after riding an exercise bike vigorously for only 6-second bursts while resting 1 minute in between.
I could do that.
You could. What is this principle called? I can't remember. Dang it. Why? I can't think right now. But this is a thing that you do, and it's when you do intense workout for a minute and then you rest. Why can't I remember what that... forget it.
It's the short burst method.
No, it's got a real name, but...
That's a real name?
It's way more infective. It infects your brain, you get addicted to it, and it's very effective.
6 seconds, I can do that.
Oh, the San Diego Zoo celebrated the second birthday of its giant panda cub.
What? Panda cub in the club tonight. Panda cub in the club tonight.
Did I tell you guys? I don't think I told Steve-O and I told Dawn yesterday. Interval workouts. Thank you, Dawn. That's what it's called. It's called intervals. Interval training. High intensity intervals.
Yes.
That's what you do, friends, if you're trying to lose some weight. You do interval training. Look it up on the internet.
You know the weight loss problems I've been having.
Yesterday, speaking of panda cubs, my pet cat panda, the queen, she ripped a giant hole in the shower curtain.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, cool. So there I am taking a shower. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. And then I hear... And I look down and there's Panda poking her head through this little hole in the shower curtain. And I was like, oh, good, Panda, you made a skylight. You're a cat, and it's from the ground in the shower. So you're a creeper.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to get a new shower curtain.
Panda's a creeper, man.
She's crazy.
She's creeping on you in the shower.
You know who else is a creeper?
Huh?
Beans. Sweet Beans.
Beans is no creeper. Beans is the greatest.
Beans is the best cat. He is so sweet. And Panda is actually being real sweet lately, too.
Huh.
She's being very kind. She just comes up and looks at me. And then I'm like, what do you want, food? And then she walks over to her bowl like, yes.
Yes, that's what I wanted.
She started talking to me.
Really?
Yeah. The other night I woke up in the middle of the night and she was going, hey. And I said, who is... And she's like, it's me, Panda. Listen. You need to pay the utility bill.
I think these lightning storms are affecting you more than you're letting on.
I can run really fast now. Did I tell
nice,
you that?
No.
That I got powers?
That's good.
I didn't want to make you jealous because I knew that Nate got a Harley and Doug's freaking king of the world.
You got superpowers.
And I got superpowers.
I got a baby who can't sleep through the night because the lightning storms are terrifying
right now.
Meanwhile,
this baby right here just sleeps like a baby because storms make me sleep.
Whoever invented the term sleeping like a baby, I want to fire from inventing terms. Mm-hmm. Babies don't sleep.
Nobody sleeps like a baby.
You're up every hour. They're crying. They want things. Ugh.
They sleep whenever you are most uncomfortable.
I slept like a man with no kids.
That's the power of sleeping like a baby. When a baby does sleep, it's when you are at your wit's end. And the baby's like, oh, cool. I did it.
I did it, guys.
An estimated 300 people participated in a brawl at a New Jersey wedding reception.
Of course they
That's
did.
Where you get in a
of
fight.
Of course.
Let's get in a fight at the wedding today.
I'm just saying. Weddings, man. It was a nice day for a white wedding.
Nice day for a fight wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Punch!
That was good. It's good.
Pretty cool. Guys, a lost gown a woman danced in on her wedding night, not the fight wedding, has resurfaced nearly 2 years after she feared Hurricane Sandy washed it away forever. Nicole Pagliaro thought the dress was lost forever when Hurricane Sandy destroyed the dry cleaner she took it to after her July 29, 2012 wedding. Hurricane Sandy surged that October, flooded the dry cleaner with 5 feet of water, putting owner Hector Pacheco out of business. Pacheco says he found the dress floating on the water at the back of his decimated shop. But with all of his computer records destroyed, he couldn't track down the owner. 2 weeks ago, Michael Pagliaro was driving his wife to a train stop at 6:30 in the morning. That's when she spotted her lost dress in the window of a new dry cleaning store. The store was new, but the name was the same as the one that lost her dress in Hurricane Sandy. The next day, Nicole took the ticket for her dress to the cleaner.
That's amazing.
And took it home. Reuniting dresses with their owners since 24 BC.
Yes.
This cleaner's place.
That's good. That's good.
Oh. Hey, check this out. You ready for this?
Yeah. Jock Jam 7.
Oh, no. I'm not a jock. Can I still jam? Yes, you can. With Nerd Jams 1. Science. Colors. Math.
It was good.
Anyone considering an expensive purchase might drink a bottle of water first. Why? Scientists have concluded that people with full bladders make wiser decisions. Full bladder, clear eyes, can't lose.
I disagree.
Am I right, Doug?
No. They obviously were not with me at the sneak for Guardians of the Galaxy when 10 minutes into the movie, I really had to pee and said, this is the decision I'm making. I'm crossing my legs and holding it for 2 hours.
And you got to see one of the best movies ever.
A second of this film.
Greatest decision.
Oh, I was sweating.
Sweating.
It hurt.
See, your body was getting rid of the fluids.
Afterwards, I didn't make good decisions because I broke man rule, remember?
What was that?
You and Jamie were at the stalls farthest away from each other, but there was only three stalls. Or whatever they're called. Urinals?
Urinals.
And then there was one in the middle, and it was like, I gotta go. But man code regulates that there must be at least one urinal in between.
Listen to me.
So that it's not weird.
No, listen.
And I made the choice.
You know who lives by man code?
I made the choice.
People that stay on Facebook all day long like TJ.
Yeah, that's true.
And Thebes.
So
and Bill
I did
Peterson.
It. I did it, guys. I broke man law and I just jumped in there. I was like, hey, guys. Great movie, huh?
This is a good place to hang out.
This is great.
The middle urinal. You are.
Right in between you and Jamie.
Yeah.
Some of the best. It was. I had a captive audience. Great conversation. Considering we were all having to pee for like 2 hours because of that really long, amazing movie. It was just great. We had
a great time
catching up.
You don't be ashamed for being a real man and saying, hey, I got to pee and I don't care about these expectations.
Yeah, I did it.
You did the thing.
So maybe
you did
it's
what
true.
You had to do.
So maybe you do make better decisions when you.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
You do.
Full bladder.
Let's hear some more about it. Researchers discovered the brain's self-control mechanism provides restraint in all areas at once. They found people with a full bladder were able to better control and hold off making important or expensive decisions, leading to better judgment. Psychologists in the Netherlands linked bladder control to the same part of the brain that activates feelings of desire and reward.
See? And I was rewarded with an entire movie that was incredible.
I know. I think you made the right decision by holding it because I did the same thing.
Yeah.
I made a better decision by getting to the bathroom first.
I feel like the poor decision was buying the extra large Coke because it was only 50 cents more. Yeah, but I don't need an extra large. But it's only a quarter more.
But I've got a mortgage. You need another one. You need another one.
Yeah, okay, I'll do it.
Have you ever heard of Doc McStuffins?
What?
The cartoon.
No.
My niece loves it.
Doc McStuffins?
Doc McStuffins. Doug knows about it. The Doc McStuffins doll line has done the near impossible. African-American toys, particularly dolls, are usually niche items, but the Doc McStuffins doll, based on the cartoon character, has crossed over into the general toy market.
Boom.
The character is a little African-American girl who pretends to be a doctor to her stuffed animals. Its merchandising has been a mega success, with everything from Doc McStuffins sheets to Doc McStuffins clothes. The doll put in about $500 million in sales last year, and may be setting a record as the best-selling toy line based on an African-American character. Doc McStuffins. That is a genius idea, because every little kid, boy and girl, you know, like, takes care of their toys.
Yeah.
Toy Story, the whole Toy Story thing's based on that idea.
Pretty much.
You know? And so Eva and Emma, my nieces,
love it.
Love Doc McStuffins.
Never heard of
it. I had never heard of it until Christmas. Last Christmas. It was like, well, what are we supposed to get Eva? And my mom said, Doc McStuffins.
Move over, Dora.
And I was like, what? Yeah, she used to love Dora.
Oh, see? Dora's out the window.
And I was like, did she not like Dora anymore? And my mom said, Dora. Old news. That's old early news. 2000s crap.
Who's next?
This is Doc McStuffins.
There is a trend. It was Dora the Explorer who spoke Spanish. Mm-hmm. Then Ni Hao Kai Lin. Does anybody remember her? She spoke Chinese.
Mandarin?
I think it was Chinese. I don't know. My kids loved Ni Hao Kai Lin.
Okay.
And then now Doc McStuffins. Who's next?
Who is next?
The Portuguese.
The Portuguese. I don't know. All right. No.
The cartoon is called The Portuguese, right? And it's a goose.
Okay.
Who speaks Portugal's, right? And he lives in Brasilia. And
I love for you guys to know about things that are popular around the world.
So good.
Because I know we can get caught up in what's popular here.
The Portuguese!
There is a trend going on in China that we need to all get up on.
Oh, man.
In China.
Kung Fu.
A selfie competition.
Okay.
Is underway on the social media site Weibo. You ready for this, ladies? Yeah. It's time for you to show off your unshaven armpits.
Okay, no.
This is a popular.
Nope.
This is popular in China, and I think America needs to catch up.
No.
I think we need to get on it.
No.
Girls, quit shaving your armpits.
Okay.
And take pictures of it. And put
gross.
It. Put it on Instagram. Put it on your stuff.
No.
Just put those photos up.
Don't do it.
It'd be great. Paula Cole was doing this back in the 90s.
That's true.
It's an old. Maybe we've already done it, and now they're catching up with us. Well, we're so far ahead of the curve, we're almost behind it. We need to catch back up to ourselves.
Yeah. Lilith Fair.
Lilith
Reunion
Fair.
Show.
Hey, what's
Woo-hoo!
Up? And finally, a Beijing couple turned to the law to help evict their 29-year-old unemployed son, who they says has long outworn his welcome. The court judge told the son to move out.
No way.
29 years old. It's happening.
Come on, man. When you're that young, you know, you got your whole life ahead of you. You don't know. You don't know.
You do know. Let's look at traffic.
Fine.
Nothing is going on. There is construction at I-25 in Paseo. That's all you need to know. Pay attention to what you're doing because now it is time for birthdays. Leaf Dog! Hey, Doug.
Hello.
What's up, Dougie Fresh?
How are you guys doing?
Good.
Man, I'm doing so great.
I looked up and realized that it was past time, and I was like, crap, we're bleeding into the best segment ever.
I wasn't even paying attention. I was doing other stuff.
I was writing my first children's story.
It was.
About the Portuguese. Huh?
If somebody takes that, I'm going to laugh.
You're learning about culture.
Go!
And animals at the same time. I'm going to be mega rich. If you steal my idea, I will lose it on you.
Hey, 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 hey!
Today is July 31st, 2014, day 212. There are 153 days. I was going to say there's 2014 days remaining.
Okay.
All right, first up, this morning, the drummer for the band R.E.M.
Nice.
Mr. Bill Berry.
Bill Berry.
Bill Berry.
Okay, for REM, so 55.
Today, Mr. Bill Berry is 56 years old.
Ah! No way.
You remember him?
Fat Boy Slim.
Yep.
We've come a long, long way together. From the good times and the bad.
Do you guys remember this video?
Yeah.
Celebrate you, baby.
The guy dancing everywhere?
Outside the movie theater, they had, like, the circle of people.
It was the dancing troupe, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was by Spike Jones, the same guy who directed amazing
Three Kings. What else has Spike Jones done? Other things.
He did the Sabotage video by the Beastie Boys.
Sabotage!
Undone and Buddy Holly by Weezer. I used to have a DVD of his music videos.
Spike Jones.
Where the Wild Things Are.
So this is Spike Jones? It's his birthday?
No.
Fatboy Slim.
Fatboy Slim. Okay.
47.
42.
Fatboy Slim is 51 years old today.
Daniel Radcliffe.
Nope.
J.K. Rowling.
Yes.
She's 49.
50.
Yeah, she's 49 years old.
How did you know this?
Guys, Mitch doesn't sleep anymore.
Ah.
And I saw a tweet that she posted at like 1 o'clock this
Mitch!
Morning.
Mitch!
And she ruined this.
She tweet cheated?
She tweeted.
She tweeted. We're so close to something funny.
We are. We'll
Gosh,
get there.
We'll get it, guys.
She cheated. It's Mitch's fault.
Ugh. So glad I don't follow her on Twitter.
Next up, Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman.
Hey! Dean Cain.
Yes.
Yeah, Dean.
Hey, Dean. What's going on, Dean?
Not a whole lot, man.
So you never watched this show. It was pretty fun. It was fun. It wasn't the best, but we really liked it. I loved the dynamic that Clark had with his parents because Ma and Pa Kent were still alive in the show, and they would call him, and he would be talking to him, and they would both be on the phone at the same time, and they would all three be talking. It's a simple thing, but me being a kid, I was like, that's how I want to talk to my parents, and that's how we talk.
You're like, both of you guys get on the house phone.
Well, they don't. It's speakerphone on iPhone or whatever, you know. But it's funny.
I think this used to come on after Monday Night Nitros.
Nice.
And that's how I watched it.
Never saw it.
Wasn't he on Ripley's Believe It or Not also?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay, Dean Cain today.
The big 5-0.
55.
Today, Dean Cain is 48 years old. Next up.
Wicked
an American actor. Film producer and martial artist who has starred in numerous films. He's best known for playing Blade in the Blade.
Oh, Wesley Snipes.
Yes.
He wants to play Blade in Blade 4. He did an interview where he wants to bring Blade back. We talk comics constantly, and here's the thing. Everybody looks back on the big hero boom starting with X-Men. No.
I agree with you 150%. Yes.
Blade is where it all started if you go back. Because before, it was after Batman and Robin, and nobody would make superhero movies for years. And then Blade
is a Marvel Knights comic. Yep. It was a Marvel comic.
A lot of people didn't even know it was a comic.
Right.
But he was in Spider-Man all the time. Had his own series, Marvel Knights, and
that first one especially was absolutely incredible. Deacon Frost.
Back. That's where the big slew of comic.
Yep.
Because then the studio was like, wait a second. If we make comic book movies well, people don't even know they're comic books.
Yeah.
And then X-Men came out. And of course, people knew X-Men was a comic book, but Bryan Singer did a really good job with it.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back and watch it now, it's kind of funny.
And then Spider-Man right after that.
Mm-hmm.
There was even a gag reel from the first X-Men with Spider-Man in it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, okay. We're nerds.
Nerd.
Good nerds.
Yeah, I really don't even know anything you guys just said.
You need to shut up. You need to shut up forever.
Staring at the computer.
Why don't you just shut up?
Demolition Man villain is 54.
56.
He is 52 years old.
Can't. Jenna Fisher.
Nope.
Steve Carell.
Nope.
The guy that plays Stanley.
Steve Carell.
Nope.
The guy that plays. Is it Rainn Wilson?
Nope.
John Krasinski. Did you already say that?
No.
Jenna Fisher. Did you already say that?
Said Jenna Fisher.
Jenna Fisher.
Is it BJ Novak?
It is.
Booyah!
That's usually the second one you say, Mateo.
BJ Novak.
Man.
He was in Amazing Spider-Man 2.
He was.
Played Alistair Smythe.
But Mr. Smythe, it's my birthday. It's my birthday. I'm a nerd. I don't do much.
Happy birthday.
I don't do much. I just got shocked by electrocutional stuff.
I got shocked.
I'm so
and this
hip and cool
me.
Now. I'm... Look at the gap in my tooth. It's gone.
It's gone.
Time to blow out my birthday candles.
Blow
what?
Them out. Get them.
Other cliche things I could say.
Ugh. Spider-Man.
Electro, no!
The funny thing is...
Electro, no!
Guys, if you're a Spider-Man fan, read the comics, because right now the comics are really good. Like, the whole Spider-Man family of comic books is really good right now.
I listened to the Nerdist podcast yesterday, and for like 5 minutes, they just bashed Spider-Man.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like,
as in general?
The two new movies.
Both of them?
The first one was...
First one was excellent.
And I still like the second one. It's just an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah.
It's heavy.
BJ is 39.
34.
He is 35 years old. On to dates.
How do you feel?
Terrible. Okay. Terrible.
The same what year?
Andy Kaufman.
Apollo 15 astronauts became the first to ride in a lunar rover.
1969.
Yeah, 1970, just in case.
1971.
What a great song.
Yeah.
This day in what year? In Detroit, Michigan, Teamsters Union President Jimmy Hoffa was reported missing.
Ooh.
And never found.
Can I phone a friend?
We should.
Call Bill.
Bill?
He would know.
Bill would know. Let's see.
Oh, Hoffa.
Oh, Jimmy Hoffa.
See, McDonald's, don't unionize. Bad things happen to Teamsters when you unionize.
I think he's a gangster.
Jimmy Hoffa.
On this day in what year, fictional character Harry Potter was born.
Booyah.
Like in the books, this was his birthday because it was JK's birthday?
Yep.
Oh, man. Can I phone another friend? She's probably awake.
You've already used up all your lifelines.
With their baby.
How about we pull the audience?
No.
Does that work?
No. 1987.
89.
1980.
Dang it.
Liar.
He's older
than
me.
He's not that old.
The Boy Who Lived.
This day, while your Walt Disney Company agreed to acquire Capital Cities ABC Inc. in a $19 billion deal.
A friend in me. You got a friend in me.
What was the question?
What year did Walt Disney agree to acquire ABC?
Oof.
For $19 billion.
You know.
1981.
Man. Okay, Disney bought the Angels. No, they already had the Wide World of Sports or whatever.
This is what I'm remembering. I don't know if it's when Disney owned it, but when I was a kid on Sunday nights, it was the Wonderful World of Walt Disney that came on ABC on Sunday nights.
You're right.
But I don't know because...
If that was just a partnership.
In the mid-90s is when, like, ABC Family, the Family Channel became ABC Family. But that was a different channel, you know, so they probably owned ABC. And I remember reading in a book... I thought it was before.
When did you say?
I said 81.
90.
1995. Okay. Cool.
All right, on to number one song.
Yes. Macarena.
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to think if this was at a high school dance.
It was junior high for me.
What grade was that? Could have been 7th grade. 8th grade?
I'm going to say 95.
And I graduated.
Hang on. I'm doing math. It's really hard. 1996.
Today, in 1996 is correct.
Thank you.
Today is Chili Dog Day. It is World Ranger Day. It's Mutt's Day. And it's Cotton Candy Day.
Yes. How do you feel?
Terrible.
Why?
Lightning.
Gotcha.
A little thunder. A little lightning.
Thunder. Lightning.
A little lightning. Oh, it's Thursday! I feel great. It is a great day. We've got Theology Thursday coming up. We've got Clay Schraub from the Aspen Project. And we've got your copy of Noah on Blu-ray Combo Pack.
Noah.
Do a little Trivia Thursday round the corner. Maybe some Noah Olympics.
Noah Olympics.
That's all on the way on Team Awesome Morning Party.
Noah.
Static.
That show is the broadcast equivalent of being punched in the face.
Team Awesome Morning Party. On Static Radio.
Oh, who cares? Who cares?
World's flooding.
Is anybody even driving right now? Come on. This is stupid. Why should we cover traffic if we're not driving? Give me a good reason.
Because we're the people's champion.
Fine.
And the people's champion does traffic for everybody who listens in their car.
People don't listen in their car.
If you smell
what's floating in the studio.
What the static is cooking.
Okay. Nothing to report right now except for the construction at I-25 in Paseo, which is nice.
Ah.
That's your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvary campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. It's 505-338-3669.
Woo!
Now, we teased it earlier.
Hey.
Who's ready?
Me.
Which one of y'all ready for this?
Phone lines are open. 505-338-3700.
Academy Award winner Russell Crowe.
Hey.
Stars of the epic adventure Noah. On Blu-ray combo pack, I have copies in my hand.
Guys, we want to give you a Blu-ray.
That's right. It's rated PG-13. It's from Paramount Home Media Distribution. Big shout-out and thanks to Paramount Home Media Distribution for these copies of Noah. Got the Blu-ray, DVD, HD, digital, whatever, combo pack. And we have copies to give away. Maybe you didn't see it. Maybe you're like, I don't know. Now you can. On us.
Cool.
And Paramount Home Media Distribution. 505-338-3700, the phone number. We got an easy game. We haven't played this in a while. So we pulled this out of the game closet.
Out of the
will.
Old hat.
All right. 505-338-3700, the phone number. As soon as Douglas is done screening people,
sweet.
We'll get to them phone calls.
Sweet Dougie Doo.
338-3700. Let's see our first contestant. Hello!
I love you both.
Oh,
I love you both a lot.
Wooly!
Let's do this. I'm down.
Wooly, are you ready to play?
I have no clue how to play, but I'm so down to play.
The name of the game is Noah Olympics.
Noah Olympics.
All right.
All right.
Noah Olympics. Noah Olympics. All right.
I can't say is what I'm assuming.
I'm not allowed to tell you how the rules are.
Let us pray.
Let us pray.
Wait.
All right, Willie, are you ready?
I am so ready. I was born ready.
All right. Reminder, the name of the game, Noah Olympics, okay?
All right, here we go.
Name five animals found on the Ark. Go.
cows, horses, chickens, snails, and flamingos.
Oh. That was excellent, buddy.
Blessings.
That was excellent.
All Thank right. you. Thank you All very right. much.
That was one. That was one. All right. All right. But it wouldn't be a tough game if we just let you go on the first try.
No, no, no. And I wouldn't expect that. I wouldn't right. expect that.
All right. The Ark was built with lumber. Name four types of lumber. Go.
Wooly.
What?
What? He hung up! Wooly! It happened, Wooly! Did it? Is it that hard? Let's see. Cedar? No, I'm not.
Lumber is tough.
Lumber is scary. Lumber is scary. Static, who's this?
This is Matt.
Matt! Matt, are you a fan of Noah?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. All right.
Hey, Margarita!
Congratulations. First of all.
Okay.
Second of all, we got copies. Blu-ray, DVD, and digital. And we
Excellent.
Want to give one away.
Excellent. So I haven't won it just yet.
You haven't won it
Not
just yet.
Yet.
I can answer that last question for you.
The name of the game is No Olympics, okay?
Good deal.
All right. I need you to name four types of lumber. Go.
Redwood, cherry wood, aspen, and pine.
Judges?
Hang
judges?
On. Doug, what do you think? Doug?
Huh? No. Oh! We're being told from our... So remember, the name of the game is No Olympics.
Uh-huh.
All right. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, buddy.
505-338-3700. It was off the bat, right? I'm not crazy. You heard it?
I okay. missed it.
Okay.
But I wasn't paying attention.
I heard it. I heard it. So, all right. Static. Hello.
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 Hi.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. How you doing?
Doing great, man. Thanks.
All right. Do you know how to play?
I do.
All right. That's good. Name of the game is No Olympics. All right. I need you to name five animals found on the Ark. Go.
Giraffe, elephant, chickens, cows, and pig.
Mm. Oh. Strong. Oh. Strong. All right. Now, Noah was on this boat for a pretty long time. He had his family with him. Name five things found in Noah's wife's purse. Go.
Oh.
Oh! I'm sorry! I'm sorry!
Bless you.
The name of the game is No Olympics. Thanks for calling.
Does O count?
Oh, you can't.
Okay.
Hmm.
Let us continue.
All right. Static! Whoops.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
Hey.
How's it going? Cool, man.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
All right. The game is No Olympics.
All right.
Are you ready to play?
Yes.
Up for grabs, we've got Noah on Blu-ray, courtesy of Paramount Home Media Distribution. We're going to ask you two questions. If you can get through them both correctly, you'll win, all right?
Okay.
All right. Name five animals found on the Ark. Go.
Okay. Cows, horses, giraffe,
Oh, no! We're sorry. The name of the game is No Olympics. All right.
Love you.
505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. We have not found a winner for No Olympics. That's okay. Your well, chance coming up.
I feel like Wooly would have won if he wouldn't have hung up.
I know!
Crazy.
Copies of Noah on Blu-ray, courtesy of Paramount Home Media Distribution. Your chance to win on the way on Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now!
Static.
Let the broadcasting of the disturbed continue.
Time for more from Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Enjoy the show.
Hey, everybody.
Team Awesome Morning Party, Sivo Mateo with you.
We with you and we never gonna stop doing what we want because we ain't cops. We're running around doing crimes and whatnot. You can be our friend if you want to join our gang.
That was a good rap.
That was so good. So good. Speaking of so good, shout out to Paramount Home Media Distribution.
Hey.
For hooking these up. Check out our Instagram at MyStaticRadio. We got copies of Noah on Blu-ray. It's the Blu-ray combo pack, the Blu-ray DVD and digital HD copy of the film. Noah starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Also featuring Emma Watson, Jennifer Connelly, Anthony Hopkins. And we've got your copies.
We got them.
505-338-3700 is the phone number. Are we ready to play some more games?
I want to.
Okay. Static.
I want to be part of the game.
Yeah, you do.
Willie. Willie, what happened?
And that's my jam. I Want You Back is my song. That's my theme song. If I was a professional wrestler, I'd come out to that.
That's exactly what we thought when your phone fell out earlier.
It did.
The call dropped. I'm sorry. Let's do this.
I can't stress to you enough how you, sir, need to see Guardians of the Galaxy then.
Yes.
If that music
dude,
is your jam.
Dude. Willie just...
All right. Okay. Okay. You know what? Maybe we should go this weekend.
Okay. Dude. We already saw it, and we're ready.
We seen it. We won't seen it again.
Mm-hmm.
Round two. All right. All right.
Speaking of movies, Noah on Blu-ray, we've got it. You ready to score a copy?
So ready. Let's do it.
So ready. Okay. We've been playing Noah Olympics, and it seems like that game's pretty tough.
I think I can do it.
All right. Are you sure?
I know.
I'm giving you options. We have... Noah Olympics is a game you could play, or we also have Amazing Headlines, where I will read you four news headlines, and you have to tell me which one is fake.
I'm down with Noah Olympics, honestly.
All right. Okay.
I don't want us to give up on something just because other people can't do it.
Wow. That's the right attitude. That's the right attitude right
That's
there.
That's a good attitude.
All right, here we go.
Do it. Game time.
All right, Willie on the line, and we are ready to play.
Let's do
Let's
it.
Play.
All right. You've got the first one, but we're going to make you do it again.
Name
five animals found on the Ark. Go.
Horses, cows, chickens, snakes, and a elephant.
Oh!
An elephant.
Oh! The name of the game, Willie!
An elephant!
Judges?
I'm biased because it's Willie. I love him. I was going to let it go.
No.
Willie, I love
you. Fair enough.
All right, buddy.
All right. Good luck to everybody.
You chose. Good luck. This game is hard.
You're our boy.
Static!
Hey, this is Benny from Holland.
Hey! Welcome.
Thank you.
All right, you've got options. Up for grabs, a copy of Noah on Blu-ray combo pack courtesy of Paramount Home Media Distribution. We've got a couple games you can choose from. We've got Noah Olympics. We also have a game called Amazing Headlines.
I'll try for Noah Olympics.
Noah Olympics. All right. Got to answer two questions. We can't tell you how this works, so hopefully you know how to play Noah Olympics.
I have an idea.
All right. Name five animals found on the Ark. Go.
Dogs, horses, cats, cows, sheep, goats.
Wow.
That'll work.
That was six. That's good. All right. Noah spent a pretty good chunk of time building this Ark out of, different kinds of wood and things and whatnots. Rock monsters, different things. Name four types of lumber. Go.
Cedar, oak, pine, copperwood.
Wow. That's four. That's impressive. That is impressive.
You get bonus points for throwing in gopher wood.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. That was good.
That was good.
All right, man. You are the first person who has been able to successfully get through the two questions, so congratulations. You just won yourself a copy of Noah on Blu-ray.
Yeah, we got a winner.
Hang on the line for us, all right?
Hang on the line.
No clue. All right. We got one more. We got one more copy to give away. Static.
Yeah, can I play?
Yes. Now here's the question. Do you want to play Noah Olympics, or would you rather play Amazing Headlines?
Someone already won Noah Olympics.
All right.
So
let's
I'll
be different.
Play the other one.
All right, Amazing Headlines. I'm going to read you four news story headlines.
Okay.
One of them is fake. You have to tell us which one is not a real news headline, all right?
All right.
All right, here we go. Drunk boater wakes up 22 hours later, two time zones from home. That's number one. Number two, okay. Stalker sends "I'm watching you" text from under teen's bed. Number three, surgeons remove 232 teeth from teen in India. And the fourth headline, man sues pizzeria he tried to rob. Which one is the fake headline?
Can you read me two and three again?
Two and three. Stalker sends "I'm watching you" text from under teen's bed. Or surgeon removes 232 teeth from teen in India.
Two.
Stalker sends "I'm watching you" text from under teen's bed?
Yeah.
Ah! That was actually a real headline.
Real headline.
Thanks for trying.
Straight out of your nightmare.
Yeah! 505-338-3700 is the phone number. If you would like a chance at Noah on Blu-ray, we got a Blu-ray combo pack featuring the Blu-ray DVD and the digital HD version. Noah, of course, starring Russell Crowe, Emma Watson, Jennifer Connelly, Anthony Hopkins. And we've got your Blu-ray combo pack courtesy of Paramount Home Media Distribution. Shout out and thanks to those guys for hooking us up with these copies of Noah. We already gave away one. Let's see who we got. Static.
Hey, what's happening?
Oh, you know, just trying to give away some Noah.
We're trying to be good friends.
It's hard. It is. It's difficult, hard. Right? Who's this?
This is Brady.
Brady. All right, Brady. Are you ready?
Yep, I'm ready.
Do you watch the news a lot?
A little bit.
Okay.
Dabble.
We have four headlines. The game is amazing headlines. I'm going to read you four different news headlines. You have to sniff out which one is fake, okay?
Cool.
All right, here we go. Number one, drunk boater wakes up 22 hours later, two time zones from home. Number two, stalker sends "I'm watching you" text from under teen's bed. Number three, surgeons remove 232 teeth from teen in India. Or four, man sues pizzeria he tried to rob.
Well, I saw the 232 teeth one, which was absolutely insane.
Insane!
Yep.
So, no, it's not that. I mean, I know that one is real.
Okay.
The fourth one seems pretty nuts, but people are kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna say the first one is fake because that is a lot of space to cover in 22 hours.
Drunk boater wakes up 22 hours later, two time zones from home. Brady.
Yes, fake.
Nicely done.
You
dude.
Win, sir.
Nicely done. Brady, you just won a copy of Noah on Blu-ray combo pack, courtesy of Paramount Home Media Distribution.
Thanks awesome.
Playing,
thanks so
man.
Much.
All right,
yeah,
hang
stay
on the line.
Line.
Cool. There you go. Cool.
All
that's
right.
How you play, man.
That's fun stuff.
Just giving stuff away.
Giving stuff away.
We still have plenty of copies of Noah
we
on
do.
Blu-ray for you to win. Keep
and it
listening.
Is Trivia Thursday all day long.
All day long. So mid-dugs with Day, of course, and then in the afternoon, Celeste will have your copies as well. So, again, shout out to Paramount Home Media Distribution for hooking us up with those copies. Coming right back, our boy Clay Schroff from the Aspen Project will be joining us in studio. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
3, 2, 1. Welcome back.
Now back to Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Hey.
Macarena, number one song.
1996. Guys, we got traffic lights flashing red, Academy at Tramway, so way, way east. Also, we have an accident reported at Eubank Boulevard South and Central Avenue there. Also, we have construction at I-25 in Paseo. Clay, how was the drive when you came in?
I drove so fast that I couldn't even tell you.
Dang, maybe you shouldn't.
That new off-ramp is awesome.
It's pretty cool.
It's pretty awesome.
It's pretty great. You know what? You're like totally an adult when things like new off-ramps are what excite you. It's like, have you guys driven on it yet?
Y'all
have you gone
that?
Over the bridge, though?
Y'all
it's just
that?
So great.
That bridge is nice.
They're really building it up. It's going to be great.
Built a bridge to my heart.
Man.
No, it's speeded it up a lot.
Yeah, it really has. So,
I've been here pretty. I got here early.
You did.
So nicely I was expecting done. Traffic.
Clay Schroff from the Aspen Project joining us in studio. Welcome, my friend.
Thanks for always having me.
Of course.
What a great venue of people you got. We get so much response from you guys.
Yay.
That's cool.
And you know, because half my stuff's always here, they drop stuff off,
know,
and you guys
right?
go, are you coming to pick it up?
Hey, Aspen Project, we got some more clothes for you. So for the listener just joining us maybe for the first time, share a little bit about the Aspen Project, what you guys do.
You know, the Aspen Project really is just about imprinting Christ on a child's heart. You know, we started off as an adoption ministry, and it moved into foster care. From foster care, we moved into pro-life. And then we found that through all three of those, there was such a need for mentorship. So we encourage the faith-based community, and that's just a technical word for Christians,
yeah,
to care for the fatherless children. And that could be through foster care, and that's where a child's removed from a home that parents don't know how to be parents.
Right.
Placed in a temporary stay until a permanent solution can be found. Respite care, and that's where everyone should start. And respite care is where you give the foster parent a time of relief, because those kids just can't go stay the night
right.
at just anybody's house. They have to be licensed and certified. And, you know, it's a three-night stay at somebody's so the foster parents can go on vacation.
Yeah.
You know, a time of renewal and things like that.
And you don't think about stuff like that. I mean, that's a big deal.
It is a big deal. You know, we got a young lady here, Monica, watches our kids a lot. She's always having new kids in the home, and she's made such an impact on these kids' lives
yeah.
and the parents, you know, even the foster parents. And it's a pretty cool situation. It doesn't obligate you for a long time. If you can't do it for a while, that's okay, too.
Yeah.
It's a great place to start. And then, of course, making a child a forever part of your home, adoption. There's kids all around the world and right here in New Mexico that need forever families. And, you know, did you know that 80% of kids that come out of the foster care system are age out? And that means they turn 18 and they're just released into the world.
Yeah.
80% will do jail time of some sort.
Wow.
So we want to make sure that those kids have a place. And that's not to scare the people who are thinking about doing it. It's to encourage you, because if you put those kids into a home where they know that they're loved and they have a forever mom and dad,
yeah.
I mean, you think about it. You're getting ready to make some decisions in life, and you have nobody to call.
Yeah.
Marriage, jobs, tragedies in life,
yeah.
Christmases. You know, it's pretty nice to have someone to call back and say, hey, Mom, Dad, Merry Christmas, and we love you. And,
yeah.
Hey, I'm thinking about doing this, and you get some good advice, good, bad, or indifferent. And it makes a difference in a child's life, and it keeps them from doing some of the wrong things because of what they think of themselves.
Yeah.
And that's where mentorship programs come in. You know, of course, we have Project Zoe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we mentor. When I say we, it's the females in my life mm-hmm. that mentor girls between the ages of 13 and 25. And we moved it from 21 to 25 because what we're finding is that even though they've been adults for quite a while, they may be really streetwise, maturity-wise, or understanding of how the real world operates. We needed to push it out a little bit.
Yeah.
And we're seeing just phenomenal results. We're working with a state-run organization, and I'm just not mentioning names, not because we don't want to share that, but because of the story. But we got, like, three of the girls got run through Project Zoe, but eight of the girls were invited to come out to the O2 experience.
Yeah.
And six of the eight went forward and accepted Christ.
It's amazing.
So it's making a difference.
Yeah.
So we thank everyone that's supporting us out there, not just financially, even though that's been phenomenal.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people are praying for us. And then, of course, as the Aspen Project, we also believe that life starts at conception.
Mm-hmm.
So we want the young, uninformed, and misled girls who are going to have abortions or terminate that life. We want them to know that that life is precious
yeah.
and that God loves them. And then, of course, we have post-abortive counseling. We'll plug you in with post-abortive counseling. If you've ever had an abortion and you find that you're suffering, there again, studies show that 1 out of 4 women that have had an abortion, it's 1 out of 4, 1 out of 3, but no matter what, the statistics are horrendous, will try to commit suicide at some point in their life.
Yeah.
And we want those women to know that God loves them and
Absolutely.
He forgives them. And it's just, that's what we do. You
yeah.
know, it's all about just imprinting Christ.
Yeah.
It is.
It's a lot of stuff.
But I love that because oftentimes that's not talked about, especially the post-abortive, if you will, the young ladies who have already made that decision. They're thrown to the curb. They're, I mean, we kind of nix them out as, you know, this unforgivable sin that, you know, God can't love them, or they put that on themselves, and that's not the case.
Yeah. It's not the case at all. We serve a mighty and a holy and an awesome God that's grace extends beyond murder or hate or adultery or, and we can go on and on.
Yeah.
There's nothing that God's grace doesn't cover.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's really where we want to come in. We want to, we are a pull ministry. And what I mean by that is there are push ministries, and that's where we put, a push ministry would push Christ on somebody. We want to invite people to come and see. Come and see what God has for you. And through love and through understanding and not being non-judgmental. And that doesn't mean that we believe sin is sin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And we'll call sin what it is, you know. But their sins are no different than my sins. And regardless of where they're at in life. And we find that by being a pull ministry that, you know what, we may, it's more one-on-one, it's more inviting, and it's their time. So we do not clean the fish that we catch. We let God do that.
Yeah.
Our job is to cast the net and then pull them in, and then God cleans those fish in his timing.
Yeah.
And we're seeing great results. And we have a great team of women. Project Zoe in particular, there is a great team of women that are just doing amazing things with these girls.
Yeah.
And it's one-on-one. It's they have a group of girls coming together that don't want to even hear the name of Jesus Christ. Mm. You know, they're insulted. They're, and the reason is because they've been, it's been pushed on them.
Right.
And people have done nothing. So we want to be tangible. We want to give them resources. We want to make the things that we do work in this world. Their jobs, their clothing, their cares, and their needs. And then, and then they say, well, why do you do this? And we get to share the love of Christ through our actions.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. There's a time to let them know that there's an eternal place that they can spend in eternal damnation.
Yeah.
But there's also a loving and a mighty God that has created a path, and an easy path.
And I think that's it. A lot of times people, you know, when you start talking mentorship or just getting involved in the life of someone, oh man, okay, what classes do I have to take? Well, I'm not informed. I don't know enough. If you...
Yeah.
Every single one of us have testimonies. Every single one of us have been through things. Every single one of us who call ourselves Christians, who are true believers in Jesus Christ, if you can smile and you can share the joy that is within you, I mean, you've done your job. That's it, is being able to show that redemption through, man, I have a checkered, if you will, past. I have a chess past.
Chess passed.
Because chess is harder than checkers, right? So
I've got a Connect Four pass.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's pretty.
It's pretty crazy. Wow.
You know, I truly find, though, that and I've talked to so many people that go, man, I wish I had a testimony. Your testimony is that you stayed in the will of God.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that you didn't suffer and you weren't didn't have the same temptations.
Right.
Because I came from a very Christian home and accepted Christ at a very young age and understood it.
Yeah.
And then decided willingly to walk away. And shame on me. And if, you know, I went on the Testify event.
Yeah.
And it, you know what? Sharing my history was so hard.
Yeah.
But if it ever, if it ever changes the life of one person, I'm in.
Yeah.
I really am. But the testimonies that I love the most, and I get to see it with the youth group and some of the kids here, is that I never walked away, but I've chosen to stay strong, and that comes with its own difficulties.
Yeah, absolutely.
And,
yeah, it's always cool. It's funny because, you know, when your testimony is. They're the opposite testimonies, if you will. I love hearing those stories. That's it. Because I have the horrible, everything you could possibly imagine testimony. And so when you hear those faithful, amazing people who still are sinners, still have fallen short of the glory of God, and yet walked a different path, I love hearing those. I love it. So
Sierra, my second oldest, so she's 17, almost 18. And you know, she started a blog, and she starts it with her testimony. I'm going, what?
Yeah.
What?
What have you done?
But just an amazing, amazing, you know, testimony of even within the, quote, good Christian home.
Right.
I think that's what she called her blog, The Perfect Little Christian. And you know what? It kind of hit home for me. But I learned from her and my other children every day as to where they're at and people's struggle. There's a lot of struggles. And right now, if you're in this perfect little Christian home and, you know, there are things going on in your home, first of all, you seek counseling from your church.
Yeah.
If you're going to a good biblically based church, go get some help.
Yeah.
Because none of us are so good that we can't reach out.
Yeah.
You know, those valley times that all Christians go through, we don't need to be ashamed in a sense that we can't seek. That's what the church is here for.
Right.
We're there for the broken.
I think growing up for me, I always thought, well, nobody would understand because look at the church. It's perfect. And so trying to reach out to my youth pastor, a counselor or something, nobody's going to understand because these people have it all together. So they obviously must be perfect. They don't sin. They don't struggle like me. And there's a great reminder in 1 Corinthians that no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. So nothing is new, you know, and if you're in a place, in a church that understands the gospel of grace and as you said, a Bible believing, you know, church.
One that doesn't make you feel guilty about it.
Right.
When you turn from your sin, it's as far as the east is from the west,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have to stand in front of your congregation and admit your sins.
Right.
You stand before a holy and a mighty God that you can confess your sins to. And when it says confess your sins one to another, my only warning on that is make sure you know. Now, when I said go to your church, make sure you go before one person.
Yeah. Yeah,
and you know it's one of those situations where you definitely don't need your laundry in front of everybody. And I give that warning just because I've made that mistake. And
yeah.
You know,
I'm free. I want to tell everybody right now. Hey, where are you going? Why are you guys shunning me?
Why's everybody talking bad about me?
Yeah. So it's a good point there too, as well. So
if you know of somebody that's lived in sin and they've turned from it, I'm a big believer in there comes a time to bring someone back into the fold.
Yeah, man.
And the love them and love the mess out of them. And
yeah.
Anyhow, but that's what we do.
Yeah, that is what you do. AspenProject.org for details. If you'd like to get connected, you can also go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. We posted all the information there.
Booyah!
Yes. Coming up 9 o'clock, of course, we have Theology Thursday. We already got a few email questions. If you would like to get an email question in for Pastor Brian Nixon, he'll be joining us today for Theology Thursday, 9 o'clock. You can do so. studio@MyStaticRadio.com. Clay Schroff.
Dr. Brian Nixon.
Yes, that dude is awesome.
He is.
Yeah, so.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Thank you for everybody who supports Static Radio. A special shout out to the people down in Clovis and Portales for carrying on the torch and just making a difference in the lives of those kids.
So, yeah, absolutely.
God bless you guys.
There you go. All right. Well, as we said, 9 o'clock, Theology Thursday. On the way, The Last Bison. We got some metric for you, but right now, Deep Sea Diver.
Oh, yeah.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
And it'll be fun.
This is going to be a real party, isn't it?
Ain't no party like a Team Awesome Morning Party, because a Team Awesome Morning Party party don't stop.
This show is so clever.
Careful traffic.
Ah, right?
It's okay.
Yeah?
Well, a couple things to report. We got an accident off to the side, I-25 South at Montgomery. That's exit 228. Also, we have traffic lights flashing red. At Academy Road and Tramway Boulevard over on the east side. And then we have construction at I-25 and Paseo. That's your look at traffic right now.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch Coffee Shop here on the Calvary campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. Come on down. That's where we're located.
Come on down to the BSU.
I thought you were going to rap.
Nope.
So
now I'm gonna rap because I waited for the timing. It was perfect, and I waited, and I'm glad I did. Hey,
so coming up,
come on down to the BSU. We'll have some fun and some food for you. We got Steve-O and Doug and Daniel too. So be my friend, won't you please? Money, I need money. If you would like to give me money, you can.
So coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we've got Theology Thursday.
What?
Dang it! I was trying to keep it straight. You know, if I had kept it straight, it would have been funnier, but I couldn't do it.
I know.
9 o'clock Theology Thursday, Brian Nixon in studio. Studio at mystaticradio.com is the email address if you'd like to send us your crazy questions.
Crazy.
Speaking of sending crazy things, are you tired of the same old summer camps?
No.
Tired of VBS? Tired of things that just, you know, aren't crazy huge? Well, how about a summer camp in North Korea? North Korea,
cool.
You know, very secretive country.
Right.
They have a summer camp, including everything from a giant water slide, private beach, video games, volleyball courts. Of course, they also have bronze statues of the late great Kim Il-sung and Kim Jong-il. The Sungdaewang International Children's Camp.
Sungdaewang.
That's fun to say. It's been operational for nearly 30 years. It was intended mainly to deepen relations with friendly countries in the communist and non-aligned world. But officials say they're willing to accept youth from anywhere now, even from the good old U.S. of A.
Good old U.S. of A!
The camp is located in Wonsan, east of Pyongyang, on the coast of the Sea of Japan. I'm doing a pretty freaking good job, if
Proud
I do say so myself.
Proud of you.
It's a popular beach destination among North Koreans with clear waters and sandy beaches, and now they are wanting your children to go to this camp.
Good.
What do you think, Jack and Luke go to North Korea for summer camp? I feel like they'd come back more refined.
I feel like Luke would come back, like, as a warlord.
Oh, man. Kim Jong-un gave this amazing summer camp a major facelift. They reopened this last Tuesday for this year's foreign campers. More than 300 young children and teens from Russia, China, Vietnam, Ireland, and Tanzania have already flocked to said summer camp. They want your children from the U.S. and A.
North Korea wants your children. Give them up.
They include now a travel guide app with attractions and tour information of the camp. And the opening of the Pyongyang Marathon to amateur foreign runners at the camp. Kids spend 8 days doing camp activities like cooking, swimming, boating, mingling,
minor
mining,
dictatorshipping.
Yeah.
Did you say mining? Mining.
Mining.
Servitude.
Just learning the ways of North Korea.
Death, slowly, water torture. marketing,
nuclear physics. Yeah.
If Kim Jong-un tells you to kiss a dolphin, you kiss a dolphin. Kissing
the
dolphin.
The camp, according to their site, offers a unique opportunity for kids of other nationalities to interact with their North Korean peers. The country's citizens are not prohibited from speaking to tourists who visit the country, but conversations between foreigners or locals are rare. So this is an opportunity to get the truth behind North Korea. Though heavily subsidized by the government, the camp, plus a tour of Pyongyang, costs $270 a kid from outside North Korea, if you're a tourist.
I can't say that
I would take my kids
to
said camp. However, at the end, there's a talent show. Hey, come on.
Come on,
So the exciting thing is teaching North Koreans how to dance. So you think you can dance?
Yes, I do.
Go to this camp.
Okay, I'll go, fine.
Yeah, don't go.
I'll do it.
I don't know.
I'm going to do it.
Maybe not.
Going to do it.
It's real. It's genuine. It's true. It's how I do! B-Nix, he's here. He's ready to get down for some Theology Thursday. That's coming up in T-minus 8 minutes. Get your questions in. Studio at mystaticradio.com. We had one question. We'll answer it early.
Okay.
I just received a question.
Wait a minute. Hold on. No questions yet.
Are you sure?
Whoa.
I'm looking at the Duke City
magazine?
And lo and behold, who's on the front cover.
That's me on the right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know who's on the left, but right next to is Daughtry from 90210. The
Shannon Doherty.
That's it, Doherty.
That's Kelly Gambino.
Oh, Kelly Gambino.
She doesn't look like Shannon Doherty.
I know.
Does she?
I'm just being. Yes, she does, kind of. But Steve-O, you're on the front cover of a magazine, bro.
Stop it.
This is. I'm sure you've been talking about this now for the last week. Have, but this is pretty. What is this? A new magazine?
Is this? It is. It's this.
A new tattoo magazine.
It's not a tattoo magazine.
Bro.
It's Duke City Magazine. It's a local Albuquerque magazine.
Well, everyone has tattoos in it, so.
Well, it's because it's about business people in, you know, tattooed people in the business world.
Would I not?
Being the program director of a highly successful radio station.
So I wouldn't be able to get in this magazine because I don't have tattoos.
Not for that article. That's one article.
So if I got a tattoo, would I be able to get into this magazine?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, okay. Please get a tattoo.
Yeah.
Beenix, we have questions for Theology Thursday that we'll get to in the 9 o'clock hour, but I just got one from a listener who said, can I go to Over the Rhine on Saturday?
Yes.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know, because I haven't figured... Chrissy, I haven't figured out Saturday. I'm on the air.
It's Chrissy.
It's a Theology Thursday question.
Oh, my
God. Can Chrissy go to Over the Rhine on Saturday? Brian Nixon, theologically.
Yeah, theologically, yes. Over the Rhine, of course, did start off as a Christian group. They always hit on Christian themes. And not only that, they're usually here in New Mexico once a year because they participate as the songwriters for a journal called Image. And Image magazine has been a very reputable journal that promotes the arts and culture from a pseudo-Christian, what we'd call more religious standpoint, but tremendously talented individuals associated with Image magazine. So they come to New Mexico because they're the featured songwriters for their symposium there in Santa Fe.
I don't know, man. They sound a lot like the Civil Wars to me.
Yeah, so
but they were before the Civil Wars. That's the whole thing.
I don't know, man. Civil War is back like 1860s.
Yeah.
So, okay, Theology Thursday kicks off at 9 o'clock. It's your one-hour theology session, and so we thought we'd kick it off a little early. My wife asked a very serious question. Can I go to Over the Rhine on Saturday? And I just feel like, I don't know, you know. Okay, theologically correct. She did ask her husband before she did anything. That is biblical,
yeah,
right?
But if...
Yes, but Chrissy, you need a little rebellion in your life.
No!
I'm telling you right now,
that's
go out
theologically sound.
Go
sir.
Out right now and yes, buy the tickets.
Wow.
Buy the tickets. Enjoy the concert.
Gosh.
And not only that, you should buy all the CDs that you don't have.
Stop it! I'm pretty sure she has them all already. She's a big fan.
So here's the theological thing. You don't want to deny your wife some pleasure and joy.
Whoa.
Therefore,
yes, Steve-O.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Therefore, as a good, loving husband, you would want her to go to this concert so she could, you know, enjoy something that she likes. Just like she would want you to go to an Angels game, she would want you to go to things that you like a Blink 182 or Angels and Airwave concert.
Nine Inch Nails. On the 19th.
You know what I'm saying?
What do I get to do?
I don't know. Well, you can do whatever you want because your wife's gone. And,
yay!
Being Theology Thursday, theologically, different zip. If they're in different zip codes, it's all fair in love and war.
I feel like that's what
almost.
Happened. That
almost.
Was it.
Almost.
That's Old Testament.
Okay. That's okay. No?
Almost.
Okay. Well, Theology Thursday is right around the corner. You can bet we'll be answering such deep theological questions like, should Christians go to Over the Rhine concert?
Why is the sky blue? Why is grass green?
Is Interstellar going to be the best movie of the year?
Yes.
Yes?
No.
Oh, okay.
Best movie of the year by far was...
Guardians?
No.
Noah.
Now, I don't know. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
It might be the movie of the year.
Okay.
Did you see the trailer for Interstellar? Phoenix?
I didn't even know there was a movie called Interstellar.
All right, we got to take a quick break.
But I do know some new books that are great.
All right, there you go. Coming back, we've got Brian Nixon and us two idiots hanging out. For Theology Thursday, you can get your questions in now.
He calls it Theology Thursday. We call it Idiot Corner. Can't wait.
Yep. That's on the way next on Team Austin Morning Party.
Now!
Static.
What are you talking about?
What kind of talk is this anyway?
Theology Thursday with Steve-O and Mateo, featuring pastors Brian Nixon and Jared Petro.
Here it comes.
Let's begin.
And begin.
Good morning.
I don't like food anymore.
Welcome to Theology Thursday, everybody.
Steve-O, welcome,
Mateo.
And
this
beat
dude.
Hi, guys. Welcome, and thank you for having me, and it's been fun.
It's good to be here.
It's good to be here. It's good to see Steve-O on the front cover of Duke City Magazine.
Shut up.
But I notice your good friend, Mateo, is not on it with you.
He doesn't have tattoos.
There's some girl that, and I apologize up front to her, because when
Kelly
you...
Kelly Gambino.
Because I said she looked like, who did I say she looked
Shannon
like?
Shannon Doherty.
Shannon Doherty.
Yeah, but
that's
I,
not a bad thing.
I apologize, because isn't... Shannon Doherty, like, what isn't she like kind of?
She's always a
despised,
villain.
Yeah, like
I don't
a
despise
villain.
Her.
Okay. Why do you like her so much?
Because she was not Kelly. She was Brenda
she
on
played a villain
and I
on
loved that show when I was a kid.
Yeah,
yeah, I said it. What Theology Thursday? Beanix, is it theologically okay for me to watch 90210 when I was 10 years old?
Yes.
Well, it all depends. Did you have parental supervision?
No, he did not.
Define supervision.
Like, were they 5 miles dinner? Within the house?
Oh, yeah. She was okay. In the house,
you
like cooking dinner
mile
in the next
house?
Room.
Yeah.
Single mom.
Five-mile radius. Well, you know, there I must admit, things. I watched the first season of 90210 with my lovely wife, Melanie, who returns home from California today.
Yeah.
And by the way, you're playing Woven Hand. Thank
I
you
am,
very much.
For you.
For me, because here's the reality. They're a Denver band.
Yeah.
And this album has really gotten some great reviews, critically acclaimed right now. So go Woven Hand. But I just learned about another band, not so much Christian lyrics, but they are a great band as well. And I like going into communities.
Yeah.
And
finding the local scene.
So this group was called Devotchka.
Wow.
And apparently they had some minor hits with that. What was the movie I was talking
Little
about?
Little Miss Sunshine.
Little Miss Sunshine. So, some interesting stuff. But Woven Hand just rocks. Devotchka doesn't rock like this.
Have you heard of this little local band? They're from Denver. They're called the Lumineers.
I have heard of the Lumineers. And
I think they're going to be big.
Have you heard about the Lonesome Loser?
Hey, Little River Band.
Yeah.
The Lumineers are a great Denver band, but here's the thing about Woven Hand.
Yeah.
Woven Hand set the stage for the Denver scene, because before they were Woven Hand, they were 16 Horsepower.
Oh,
and
yeah.
16 Horsepower are one of the architects of kind of that indie banjo type sound.
Really?
Yes.
I was going to say, man, that you can tell that Lumineers and The Fray just totally ripped off Woven Hand. Listen to this.
Yeah.
Sounds exactly like the Lumineers.
Well, no, because he got back to his goth roots, with Woven Hand. But with 16 Horsepower, he was doing the whole banjo acoustic thing.
We should start a goth banjo band.
We should, and call it...
The Other Gallows.
The Other Gallows.
I was telling everybody about our band that was going to be really, really cool, and it would have probably been super huge right now, because it was all like...
That's right. But our friend, who we will, he'll remain anonymous.
Why'd he steal the name?
Stole our name.
No.
Borrowed our name.
So our friend, who shall remain anonymous, said, hey, let's get together and record some songs. And he has a studio in his backyard in a little barn.
I gotcha.
And Steve-O and I said, hey, let's do it. And we even met with Chrissy, went down, we got like 12 songs in order.
Yep.
And then nothing ever happened.
Like, hey, Brodus, remember how we were going to start a band? Remember the band?
And nothing happened.
For the band.
Nothing happened.
Yeah. You know, maybe we could just go without, you know?
We just start a band. You know? I mean, we do have Mateo now, and he can play bass.
Mateo can play bass. We've been talking about starting a bar band so we can make some money on the side.
I've been faking. I can't play the bass.
Being in ministry, you know, you don't make a ton of money, so we're jumping to bivocational. We're thinking weekend band, you know, just play the hits.
Yeah. Or you just write a great song and you have a hit.
Nah. I'd rather just rip everybody else off karaoke style.
Hey, man.
You know? Why write the hits when you can play
I mean,
the
that's
hits?
That's the way of Christian music. Why write something original when you can just rip something popular
exactly.
off?
That's so exactly we're doing, right. We're doing, it's an all-boy band doing all-girl covers. So Indigo Girls. We're going to be doing some Cyndi Lauper. We're going to be doing the Bangles. Yeah, it's going to be huge.
Hey, did we say that if people want to chime in on this very important conversation, they could? I mean, you know, a lot of people may have questions about boy bands doing girl covers, but the number's 338-3700.
Yeah, I think
338-3700.
Biblically, I don't know that I could dress up like Cyndi Lauper and be good with that.
Let's get biblical, biblical.
Yeah,
I want to get.
That's what
not.
We're doing.
But that song is not Cyndi Lauper. Let's get physical.
That's Olivia Newton-John.
We're not dumb. We're starting an all boy girl band.
You Gosh. Say
we obviously know.
I only hear what I want.
Yeah, Lisa Loeb, shut it. Brian Nixon, you caught us at an interesting moment in our lives.
Well, no, you know what? This is a fun time because, you know, theology has practical application as well.
It really does.
And you guys are giving fodder for practical
fodder
application.
Fodder is another word for poop.
Yeah. Oh. See, I was thinking, Luke, I am your fodder.
Well, you can say that to him if you want to.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Later in life, he's going to get real confused.
It is Theology Thursday. The phone lines are open. We digress. We will be serious.
That's all right.
Maybe. 338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. You can also chime in through Facebook.
Yes.
Or send us an email. We got a couple email questions. So.
Speaking of Theology Thursday, and a nice tie-in to your last comment. You know, there's a lot of people in the world that think Jesus was not funny.
Right.
And there's a general misunderstanding that Jesus was this guy that had no humor and what have you.
Right.
But contrary to that view, there is good biblical evidence that Jesus did use humor in his. Now, in our culture today, that humor has passed over us, meaning we don't necessarily get this, you know, the nature of it.
It's like a 12-year-old trying to understand the finer points of Monty Python.
Kind of. That's exactly right.
Cultural differences.
But when you look at Jesus's, particularly in some of his sayings, like it's easier for a what?
Camel to go through in the eye of a needle.
Than a rich man to enter heaven. That actually had humorous overtones for the culture in which they live. And there are other things. And I would recommend our people who are interested in humor to pick up a book that was written several years ago by a gentleman by the name of Elton Trueblood.
Okay.
And he was a real Christian thinker, and he did a lot of serious books, but he did a book called The Humor of Christ.
Wow.
And in this book, he goes through the sayings of Jesus and shows, you know, most likely culturally understood, certain sayings would have been a humorous or at least have a tinge of sarcasm or irony that caused people to, you know, chuckle. So Jesus, contrary to our misunderstanding, did use humor.
But Paul as well. He was a sarcastic individual in his writings at times, which was great.
Yes, he did. And Paul sometimes threw down some not nice words.
Yeah,
but,
right.
But
heavy language.
Yes, but, you know,
you're talking scubula.
Yeah.
That's the original.
That is. And you know what that means. We don't need to say that on Christian radio.
Just say it.
It's
poo-poo. But it's the stronger version of that.
Yes.
Now, the King James Version translated it as dung.
Yeah.
But Paul meant something a little bit more
offensive
and hard.
Yeah.
But the point is that our biblical writers were humans.
Yeah.
And they did incorporate humor, and there were elements about that. So very important to
perfect
know.
Perfect, Beena.
Perfect segue, because you haven't even seen the email questions. We should start with that email question, because we have a few email questions to get to, but that one, I mean,
let's do it.
All right.
338-3700 if someone wants to chime in.
Yeah.
This email comes from a listener. I never know if I want to keep it anonymous or
right. I don't know.
Because some people identify themselves within the... Like, we have another email from a girl named Hope. She's like, hi, my name is Hope, you know?
But we'll call him Zoe.
Yeah. The Bible was written by a bunch of sinning, imperfect people. The Bible was then compiled by a bunch of sinning, imperfect people. How can we trust that the Bible is the, quote-unquote, Word of God? I have an especially hard time with the canonization of Scripture. Who were these men who decided what is Scripture and what is not? Did these men, I'm assuming they were men, have political motivation when the Bible was put together? Why did Protestants decide to exclude the Apocrypha? Thanks very much.
Loaded question.
Yeah.
And what I mean, and honestly, we could probably take the rest of this hour to unpack
totally
that.
We can.
So, and we can. And it's a great question, particularly in today's day and age, because there is a lot of individuals, particularly New York best-selling authors like Bart Ehrman, who are attacking the Bible and giving us some sort of thought in our mind that you really can't trust the Bible. But that really is not truthful, and that is far from the truth. And let me tackle a few of his points. First of all, you know, where did we get the Bible? Well, the Bible was written, the New Testament, we'll focus in on that,
okay,
was written by a host of people, several men, and there are no women, and the criteria that was used for the Bible is varied. And depending on the scholarship, they will bring in different criteria. But what is clear across the board with all scholarship, the criteria for the early councils that chose what books were canonized was association with the apostles.
Okay.
So the book that was chosen had to have some connection to the original 12 at some level. Someone knew someone who knew someone, and or attributed to the original 12.
Gotcha.
So those are constant indicators of that. Now, beyond that, some of the other criteria that are used were the books used in the earliest forms of Christianity, meaning did they read from them? Did they use them in the worship service? Did they refer to them?
Okay.
And usually how we know that is then we go to second generation Christians. So those people who lived from, let's say, 100 to 200 that knew the apostles. So they'll look to their writings, which we have tons of those writings.
Okay.
And we'll go to those guys and say, okay, Justin Martyr, okay, Irenaeus, okay, Tertullian, these are some of the early Christians, Polycarp, who were you guys reading? Who were you referencing? What books were you using as scripture? So we go to these guys and say, hey, these are the books they were referencing. These are the books. So what you're finding is that there is an unbroken chain from the earliest Christians, let's say from the 12 apostles, to that second generation, their disciples,
okay,
and then on. So what you have is associated with the apostles, written by the apostles, used in the earliest parts of the Christian church. Thirdly, does it have a high Christology? There were a lot of books floating around. Contrary to what people think, well, the Bible must have been the only, you know, works that were floating around the early church. Not at all. There were other gospels. There were other writings. There were stuff all over the place. But why they chose these particular ones is because of their theology, a high Christology. Did they agree with one another? Even though written from different people at different times, was there some sort of thread that was woven through them? And that thread usually was a high Christology. How did they form Christ? So let me give you an example. The four Gospels were the earliest accepted books in the canon.
Okay.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You get that across the board. There isn't an early church father. There isn't an early Christian, you know, out there that didn't recognize those four. Even those people who were not what we would call Orthodox Christians.
Okay.
Marcion, who was an early Gnostic writer, he even recognized those four Gospels. So those four Gospels were given. But contrary to having those four, there was later on, about 100 years later after those, the Gospel of Thomas, the Gospel of Peter even later. So there were all these other Gospels. But when you look at the Gospel of Thomas and you look at the Gospel of Peter, they have a weird Christology. They have, let's be quite frank here, an unrealistic Jesus. Jesus doing things like, okay, they're making him look like Superman or a ghost. Okay. It's not a God man. It really is almost like a phantom who's here on earth. And so they don't portray a realistic picture. So scholars in the early church and scholars today look at those and go, okay, they were gospels, quote unquote, but they do not portray a real Jesus. It was almost like if they were fictitious works. Okay. What if Jesus was like this? Let's fill in the gap of his early life. Let's do all this type of stuff. So
it's like the unauthorized autobiography.
Kind of.
It's Gnostic stuff.
That's right. It's right. Totally most of these other works were from a Christian, early Christian cult called Gnosticism. So
explain that to those that, you know,
Gnosticism, generally speaking, were Gnostic is from a Greek word meaning to know, and they felt that you had to get higher levels of knowledge, almost like in a weird sense the Masons today, you know, like certain levels, and then you reach this, you know, pinnacle. And they felt Jesus was the archetype, the principal person who kind of reached the high level. And so not that he was so much the Son of God, though they wouldn't maybe deny that, that he was almost like an enlightened teacher that worked his way up. Plus, most Gnostic groups denied the flesh. So they believed that the flesh was like
just
an illusion.
Discounted it.
Yeah, it was illusion. So really all that mattered was the spirit. So in philosophical terms, we call that Neoplatonic. And Neoplatonic, coming from Plato, taught that the only thing that mattered was the spiritual realm. So the Gnostics basically were an early hybrid of people that were Neoplatonic, that were saying, hey, the only thing that matters was the spiritual. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that. First of all, the Bible teaches Jesus came in the flesh. He was flesh. He was man. He was, you know, what we'd call God-man. Plus, we also learn in other letters in the New Testament that the flesh does matter. You know, James wouldn't say, you know, take care of the flesh, help those people that are in need, if the flesh didn't matter. But anyway, that's what Gnosticism was. But they had their own books, they had their own writings and letters and so on and so forth. So back to the criteria. So criteria, was it written by the apostles? Was it associated with the apostles? Was it used in early church worship services and referenced by that second generation of Christians? What does it have a high theology, a high Christology, as opposed to other forms? And then it goes on and on and on. But those four criteria you find among most scholars across the board as what went into determining the canon. And let me also say this, contrary to our question there, it wasn't like they just picked, you know, put names in a hat and walked around and picked names out and go, oh, look, you know, so-and-so made it in the Bible. You have to understand there was scholarship, there was meetings, there was division, there was discussion, and this was a collective group that got together in Nicaea in 325 and then thereafter, you know, continuing to debate, that they looked at these criteria. This wasn't some ploy, you know, a.k.a. Dan Brown and others, and, you know, obviously maybe this person's read some Dan Brown popular fiction.
Right.
You know, a ploy of the Roman Catholic Church, which, by the way, the Roman Catholic Church was not the Roman Catholic Church that we know of today back then.
Right.
The group of Council of Nicaea had literally hundreds of Christian pastors and scholars from different stripes and brands, what we'd call like denominations today, different viewpoints and theologies that gathered together using certain criteria, bringing to the table certain concerns that they have, and it was a collective group where they basically said, yes, for over 200 years, these are the books that we've referred to. These are the common language, or canon, which it really means ruling stick or yardstick. This is what has been measured for the early Christian faith. So it's not like they went out of their way and just kind of, you know, found certain ones. They just recognized what was already in place. So the earliest records we have, based upon going back to those four gospels I said were given across the board.
Yeah.
The earliest records we have, which come from the Muratorian fragment, which is just a fragment of a page we found that, interestingly enough, has listed, and again, some scholarships put the Muratorian fragment as early as 120 AD.
Wow.
So you have to understand, this is like the early right. Christians
this
writing
is the post-it note from the meeting.
This is the post-it
that's
note.
That's like 50 years after Paul, right?
Yeah, that'd around be 50 there. Years after Paul, or let's even put it even more, 30 years after John.
Yeah,
gotcha.
And probably Papias was alive, and Papias was. I could get to him in a minute. Very, okay. very important early guy who helped us understand a lot of this. But the Muratorian fragment, which could be date as early as 120, other people put it closer to 200, okay. But somewhere in between 120 and 200, lists 24 books as the recognized canon. And so the earliest church was, you know, still dealing with what books should be included and what books shouldn't be included. But again, fast forward to that 324. By the time from, let's say, 120 to that 334, that 200-year period, the church had come to terms with what books should be in the canon. And that's why it was voted upon at the Nicene Council and assimilated in what we would call the New Testament.
Okay.
Now, to be fair to this person's question, there are those books that are suspect. And what I mean by suspect, because you're going, okay, you say the earliest document we have said 24, but now we have 39 books. So what happened to those other books? Well, most scholarships would say why they only listed 24 is because probably whoever wrote those notes down on the Muratorian fragment may have not been aware of other books that were floating around. So that could be just a list that particular group knew about.
Okay. Gotcha.
Now, but there have been those books that have been controversial, and they were, even through the Protestant Reformation, were like, should we include these or not?
James.
Well, James particularly was Luther's.
Yeah, Luther's.
But Luther also, Martin Luther had problems with James. He had problems with Revelation.
Yeah.
He had problems with elements of Hebrews. He had problems with some of what we would call like 3 John, 2 John.
2 Peter.
2 Peter. A lot of what we'd call the seconds, the second and third letters. So some of those letters, the second and thirds of the various writers, were held in, you know, suspect. But Luther had more problems with James because of theological reasons,
right,
not because of the lineage of the work. He did have problems with Revelation because of its theology. He felt Revelation had a skewed Christology.
Wow.
And Revelation is one of those books that has been dismissed and was dismissed by some of those early Christians. Even at the Council of Nicaea, some of the Christians felt that Revelation didn't really fit the criteria. So all said and done, some of the books that weren't included in the original 24 include Revelation and Hebrews and the seconds.
Okay.
And that's why. But again, by the time of the Nicene Council, they were accepted books.
That's good, because without Revelation, we wouldn't be seeing Nick Cage on the big screen.
So that,
well,
that gives you, by the way, that is just a snapshot of the criteria of the canon, which goes to now the second point of his question, Mateo, which was what? I know that the third one was the Apocrypha, which we'll get to in
a
minute.
He wanted to know who the men were that decided. Yeah.
Did these men have political motivation?
Okay.
When the Bible was put together.
And let me dismantle this for you. And this is a common modern misconception propagated by Dan Brown through the Da Vinci Code and his other works. Basically, the idea is like this. The Roman Catholic Church got together, put together this Council of Nicaea, and for political reasons, silenced the Gnostics and other Christian, you know, cults, and they just put together those books that they wanted. That is the Dan Brown version.
Right.
That could be historically further from the truth.
Okay.
Dan Brown, if that is what he is propagating, that is a fairy tale.
Yeah.
The reality is the Council of Nicaea, which I already alluded to, had people of divergent
right
views, divergent theological. And as a matter of fact, they didn't always agree. After that Council of Nicaea, it took them another 75 years to agree upon other things. So contrary to this idea that the Roman Catholic Church just brought things together, brought the guys that they wanted in the room, right, and everyone just, hurry, let's do a quick vote. Not the case at all.
Hurry, now.
Not the case at all.
Right.
Scholarship would prove that these were divergent men from different backgrounds, from different views. Secondly, the Roman Catholic Church, as we know it, was non-existent.
Right.
So this idea that there was this big, bad, mean Roman Catholic Church, contrary. It was the Catholic, small c, universal church. Mm-hmm. So they made it a point that at the Council of Nicaea, they had men from Africa, Northern Africa. They had men from what we would call the Middle East. Mm-hmm. They had men from what we would call Europe. You know, wherever Christianity was, including people as far away as Britain. So,
what about the USA?
The USA,
they were there.
The USA sadly was not.
Joseph Smith said they were there.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
I'm just kidding.
They were not represented quite yet.
Are you sure?
Yeah, but the point is,
Jesus isn't white.
Yeah,
he's a white ginger.
And let me make a further point to show you the theological differences. And that, chances are a guy by the name of Pelagius was associated with the Council of Nicaea. So, too, was probably in, maybe he wasn't at the actual meeting, but he was associated with the people, was St. Augustine.
Okay.
And they had divergent, completely opposed views on certain subjects.
Yeah.
Particularly as order of salvation, how one is saved, grace versus predestination, free will versus predestination. They were both alive and well during that that time.
Yeah.
And so you look at those guys associated and new people at the Council of Nicaea. Those were the divergence of views that were present. So contrary to that popular notion that it was a Roman Catholic issue. And let me also point out that the Roman Catholic Church wasn't, it was just one church among many.
Yeah.
It wasn't the dominating church that we so think today. It really wasn't until the fall of Rome in 410 AD that the Roman Catholic Church took a greater leadership role within the church.
Yeah.
In the 200 to 300s, it was a Catholic, a universal church, everyone holding different views, everyone coming to the table with their particular vantage points. And so Dan Brown is completely historically wrong, mm-hmm, not only in who was at the Nicene Council, but the power of the Roman Catholic Church at the time. It right. did not wield the power. As a matter of fact, if you look at Constantine, and in contrary to whatever, well, he was the Roman emperor. Yes, he was. And he did allow Eusebius, his kind of right-hand scholar, to call this meeting together. But you'll notice it didn't happen in Rome. It happened where Constantine liked to hang out, which happened to be Turkey.
Hmm.
And not only that, it really involved mostly men not from Rome, but from other parts in what we'd call the Middle East, North Africa, in Europe.
Would that be the Eastern Orthodox?
Because that
was the first big break, right?
Exactly. In 1054, yeah, the Eastern
Orthodox. We always
talk
about the Catholic-Protestant break, but way
right.
before that, there was another break. There was the Eastern Orthodox and the Roman Catholic
yeah.
break.
So let me just say, to the defense of the Roman Catholic Church here, in this particular historical vantage point, for people like Dan Brown or even the question we have, to say it was politically motivated is not the case.
Okay.
Constantine, who legalized Christianity, wanted Christians basically to get together and agree. He was not politically motivated by it, but he did, to his credit, once the Christians got together and agreed upon something, went and printed Bibles.
Mm.
He basically said, okay, Christians, I'm allowing you to have your voice to agree upon it. Now you've agreed upon something. I'm going to print these Bibles, and these are going to be the Bibles that we're saying that Christians agree upon. Because yeah. look at it before this. Prior to Constantine's act of emancipation for Christians, for the legalization, Christians were an underground persecuted group. Some areas they are persecuted more than others. But the reality is the only politics probably involved is that he needed some sort of official documentation that Christians were a legitimate group, and their documentation is found in their book, which is the New Testament. So if you say that's politically motivated, okay, you could say that. But generally speaking, to think that there was a coup of like-minded guys that got together right. under the auspices of the Roman Catholic Church, that could be further from the truth. Which leads us now to his third component. What was that, Mateo?
Yeah, that was, why did Protestants decide to exclude the Apocrypha?
And that, this is a really interesting question. And again, not to bore our listeners here, but the reality is the Apocrypha has always had a place in what we would call the Bible. And let me offset this comment before I get into a little more history about it, is we as Protestants shouldn't be afraid of the Apocrypha. Right. You know, I know, like when we go to our Catholic grandma and grandpa, oh, I'm not going to touch their Bible. It's got those other books.
Right.
You know, and that's not the case. As a matter of fact, those other books have always been part of the scripture. And really, it goes back to a gentleman by the name of Jerome. And Jerome...
Man, I wish I could just be one name.
Yeah.
He doesn't have like a last name. Well, it's just Jerome.
Yeah, well, we know him as St. Jerome.
Yo.
Jerome left. He really wanted to be a priest. And he found out that he wasn't a great priest. He actually was a better scholar. So he moved to Israel in Bethlehem. And he started to translate the Bible into Latin, which we call the Vulgate. And Jerome, while he was in Jerusalem, started to work with Jews. And in the course of his scholarship and his work, he would ask Jews, what books you guys consider canon, authorized books, and what books do you consider secondary? It was the Jews who said, here are the authorized books, and here's what we consider secondary. And what were secondary are those that we would call the Apocrypha. So what Jerome did is he took those works and he compiled them into one section, which we now know as the Apocrypha. And he put them in the middle of the Bible. So you had the Old Testament, which we know.
Yeah.
Then he had the Apocrypha in the middle. And some of the reasons why he put the Apocrypha in the middle, because some dealt with intertestamental themes. Also, he also felt that they had enough historical and theological input or insight that they needed to be included.
Okay.
So you had the Old Testament, the Apocrypha were put in the middle, and then you had the New Testament. And the Vulgate was the Bible through the Middle Ages. I mean, that was the official authorized Roman Catholic Bible by the time Roman Catholicism took precedence. Then it wasn't until that started to be debated, the books of the Apocrypha, not necessarily by Protestants at the time, but by Catholic scholars.
Okay.
And Catholic scholars started to say, huh, should these books be included, and where did they come from, and so on and so forth. And one of the gentlemen who was really instrumental in this was a gentleman by Desiderius Erasmus. And Erasmus then took it upon himself to go back to some older Greek manuscripts and retranslate the Bible, not into Latin like Jerome did, but into a new Greek version. It was that Greek version where he left off, if you will, some of right. the Apocrypha. It was that Greek version that his friend, Erasmus's friend, Martin Luther, took. Though later on, the Apocrypha was translated into German and other languages, but it was still kept in the beginning. But what Luther did is he took the books out from the middle and he put them at the end with Revelation and James. And those were the books that he was saying, you know, they're good historical books, but I don't know how much weight I would give them. Now, fast forward. So the Protestants still have the Apocrypha with them, but in different parts of the Bible. When it came to the Puritans, which is our question that our listener gave us, when it came to the Puritans, it was both theological and, being Puritans, very practical why they didn't include it. And here's their line of thinking. Their line of thinking went like this. If these are not on the same level theologically as the others, A, why should we include them at all? Right. Not that they were saying they're bad or wrong. They're just saying, why should we include them? But then practically, where were the Puritans coming to? Where were they leaving to? What country?
America.
America. They were coming to America. And they, part of their journeys, they had to bring Bibles. And then as they began to plant themselves here in New Mexico, and, well, not so much Puritans, but in, you know, the East Coast and different parts, they had to ship Bibles. Mm. Well, as you're paying people to ship Bibles, there's a cost by weight. So you can save lots of money by taking out a middle section of a book.
Especially if it's not "quote unquote" licensed.
That's exactly right. So what you get licensed. Is theologically the Puritans were saying, well, if this isn't on the same level as the authorized books that were voted upon in the early church, and there's a practical reason for not including them in that I don't have to pay the weight or the shipping for this extra weight, let's just start printing them without the Apocrypha.
Okay.
Now, when we say today, what Protestant groups do not have the Apocrypha, we would say most mainline evangelical groups, such as the Presbyterians, the Baptists, the Methodists, you know, independent churches like Calvary Chapels,
Assemblies of God,
they do not have the Apocrypha. But other groups like the Anglicans, Lutherans,
Episcopal
do still have the Apocrypha. So contrary to this guy's question, why did the Protestants take him out? They didn't.
Okay.
Certain Protestants took it out. Other Protestants still have the Apocrypha in the middle of the Bible as part of the book. Now, one last thing we need to do, and I know this is crazy, and,
you're bored out of your mind.
No,
not at all.
But why the Roman Catholic Church then took the books from the middle and applied them into the Old Testament, so they're part of the same book, really was a reaction to the Protestants. Hmm. So at a council, a Roman Catholic council called the Council of Trent, which happened in the 1500s, they basically said, okay, these Protestants are going haywire. They're out of control. And the Catholics, of course, saw the Protestants as heretics.
Right.
And they have their own version. Well, we're going to show them. We're going to vote and reinstitute that the Apocrypha, not in addition, but opposed to what they're doing, is part of ours. And not only that, we're going to go a step further. Not only are we going to say that the Apocrypha is acceptable books, but we're going to reintegrate those books within the Old Testament.
Hmm.
So what you get is in quote-unquote Catholic Bibles, you will find some where they still have the Apocrypha in the middle, but you'll find other ones where they've reintegrated those books in the Old Testament. But let me go off. Let me go back to my original statement. Protestants do not need to be as scared or afraid of those.
Right.
We just need to recognize that the historical lineage of those books, not only from the Protestants, but back to the Catholic Church, when I say the small C, the not Roman Catholic, but the Universal Church, and the Jews, always recognized those books as non-binding.
Okay.
They were great historical books. They were great. They added some theological insight, but you did not use them for doctrine or for your rule of faith.
So it's kind of like grabbing a book like The Purpose-Driven Life, knowing that it's not the Gospels, but it can be useful. And
it's got insight.
It can be insightful, but this theologically sometimes could be whack.
I would say that not only that, but it's kind of like The Purpose-Driven Life mixed with Fox's Book of Martyrs, which is a history book, where it gives you history and theology. And so the early church, Jerome and those after Jerome, felt it was important enough to include in the Bible, but not hold it as high esteem as those books that were just voted on as the rule or the canon of faith.
So if anything, to his question, why did Protestants decide to exclude it and political motivations and this and that, if anything, the political motivation came from the Roman Catholic Church to include it, right?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
And yeah, if there was any politics, when you get to the Protestant Reformation and the Roman Catholic Church, not the small C Universal Church Catholic, but the Roman Catholic Church did have theological and political motivation. They wanted the Protestant Reformation stopped.
So can we? I don't want to like nix all these things, but you know, I think of these political reasons or reasons why we have certain things, like the 5 points of Calvinism, which was like the direct response to the 5 points of Arminianism, and that's why we got the 5 points of Calvinism to begin with. It seems like those things, when they're, whether it's politically charged or just as a rebuttal to something outside of the Bible, I don't want to discount it, but those seem like emotional responses.
Yeah, a lot of times there are emotional responses, and again, some of them are politically motivated, and at the root, though, I think with all good-hearted Christians, there are theological reasons behind them as well. Truly, when you look at the division between Calvinism and Arminianism and anything in between, there are theological reasons, which point back to biblical reasons why people disagree. But when we come to that, we could agree to disagree. Right. You know, I'm not, at least to my knowledge, ever going to become a 5-point Calvinist.
Right.
I've studied Calvinism. I've studied it with some great Calvinists, R.C. Sproul.
Yeah.
I've looked at it deeply. I've wrestled with it, and I've come up that it's I've weighed it and I've found it wanting. Yeah. On the other hand, I've looked at Arminianism, hyper-Arminianism,
right,
and I found the same to be there. That's why I feel like I come to it from a balanced viewpoint. But that's theologically motivated or biblically motivated. And I think most earnest Christians do have that theological, biblical reasons for divisions. But at times throughout history, those theological reasons will take on political ends. Mm-hmm. And we could go back to the English Reformation. We could go back to a lot of different stuff to prove that point. But that's where politics and religion, if you will mix. But, you know, when it goes back to the canonization of Scripture and the use of the Apocrypha and everything else, I do not necessarily see any political motivation. As a matter of fact, contrary to the question we received on email and contrary to like popular books like Dan Brown and others, they are not giving you a full orbed understanding of history.
Because I think it's important to remember, like, the big hang up with it is, well, who were these guys? You know, because essentially it's like, wait a second, these were just dudes. And if they're anything like me, they screw everything up.
Right.
So you got to remember, too, if we really believe in an all-powerful God, you know, that loves us, then you at some point you're just going to have faith that he got to you what he wanted you to know, and right, that he's still doing that today.
Yeah, and I agree with that, Matt. And not only that, and not only did they, you know, to a sense, to quote Kierkegaard, by the way, Kierkegaard never said a step of faith. He said a step towards faith.
Mm.
So they did have to have that step of like, you know, we're going to trust the process that went before us. And again, it's not like these guys just found these books and they drew, you know, numbers out of a hat. They looked at the scholarship, the lineage that went on before them, and they made concrete decisions based upon the evidence that was before them. And I said I'd get back to Papias. Sadly, one of the huge losses of the early church is the complete works of Papias. Mm. And Papias was really a second-generation Christian. And he met guys that knew the apostles. I mean, he interviewed them, so to say. He hung out with these guys. And Papias wrote down lineages of where we got certain books of the Bible. It's from Papias that we get the idea that Mark was really Peter's gospel. Mm. It's from Papias that we get that Luke says it himself, but he interviewed different people, including Paul. It's from Papias that we get, you know, the ideas of Matthew and, you know, Matthew giving his information to, you know, certain people that helped him compile the writings. And Papias wrote all this down.
Yeah.
Sadly, we don't have those. What we have are excerpts. And so the early Nicene Council people, Eusebius specifically, quotes from Papias' works, which were still around at that time, and he writes down, well, this is what Papias says. And what's interesting, again, to show you that not everyone was always on the same page, Eusebius would disagree with Papias at times. He would go, well, here's what Papias says. And even though he was kind of there, you know, here's what someone else says. And so they were dealing from a scholarly way with the information. So again, there is a complete misunderstanding in our modern era that these guys were just all a bunch of idiots, you know, sitting around going, here's my turn to pick something from the hat. Oh, look, you know, Revelation made it in. You know, that wasn't it.
Yeah.
These guys were thinking it through with hundreds of other men from divergent backgrounds coming to terms with what books. And it wasn't like they were coming up with new books. Hey, look, I just found this. They were looking at books that had proven themselves for a certain criteria throughout the last 150
years. And we have to remember that. Because now when we think of scholarship, like we go to like our Constitution, we go to our original document Constitution that we have. We still have it.
Right.
But it's because when we wrote it, it was like, we should save this.
Right.
Because over the course of history, we've been like, all these important documents that we just threw away. And we wish we had them now. But these guys approached it from a super, like you're saying, scholarly level. They went back to try to find, because back then, people remembered things.
That's right.
And that was the way they passed things on, is audibly. They remembered them. They told them in story form. So these guys went back to those. They traced the tracks a little differently, but in the kind of the same way. They're just on a different.
And in the case of Papias, what we do have from him, and when we dissect his words, and by the way, there's brilliant books out there that do dissect his words. One's called The Eyewitness to the Gospels. Mm. A brilliant, brilliant work of a guy who actually, he's a Brit. He takes apart the writings that we have left of That's Papias cool. and shows that, wow, this guy really was interviewing those people that knew the apostles, and we're getting that even just from, you know, segments of his writings. So it's pretty amazing. But these guys were smart guys. They were doing their due diligence. Was it modern in the sense that they had tape recorders and videotapes? Well, you got to prove it. Well, we didn't have any of that.
That's
stuff
the luxury
back then.
That we have.
That's
now
exactly
that
right.
History hasn't had.
But were they doing due diligence for what they had before them?
Yes.
Unquestionably. They were going to eyewitnesses. They were going to the people that saw, heard. And we still do that today. An accident happens. Policemen call, you know, obviously you go, hey, did anyone get this on tape? I'd love to see it. That's what they go to now. But even today they go, who saw this? And they'll interview Steve-O. Then they'll go to Matt and go, well, what did you see? And they'll compile that information. The early church has always done that. That's why we have four Gospels, four different vantage points, four different viewpoints. That's why we have the epistles, different letters happening, different things going on. The early church has always valued scholarship.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's good.
It is Theology Thursday. Great question. Great answer. That was fun.
And by the way, I told you that this one question could take all of the broadcast.
Right?
And not only that, I could have went into so much more, but I'm sparing our listeners. What's the next email question we got?
We got a response, actually, from the person who
he
sent
says,
in that question.
Thank you for answering my question about biblical canon. I've never read any Dan Brown, just so you know. These are just the thoughts that keep me up at night. I believe the Bible and what it says. I know God can use people to complete his will. I guess I just really wanted to know if the Holy Spirit was involved there. I guess the hand of God was heavy on these guys. It must have been super clear on what had to be included in the Bible. I could imagine the pressure on them that they are putting together the Bible.
Yeah.
The holy book that all Christians will follow.
Well, that's great that he followed up. And I do thank you that to clarify that you didn't read Dan Brown, because really a lot of the people get their information from him in
very
the popular
trendy
level. And he brings up a very valid point. Ultimately, this goes back to what you said, Matt. Mm-hmm. We have to trust that the Holy Spirit was involved in this.
Yeah.
And the Lord was leading people in a particular fashion, in a particular way. But again, it wasn't blind faith. It wasn't like they just came up with these books. These were books that were recognized, mm-hmm. that were used, that had association with early guys. And it really was a well thought out process. But behind the scenes, if you will, the conductor of this, we would say, was the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So that's when we get into a whole nother realm, which we won't tackle today, but we would call the inspiration and where people fall on the inspiration. Are they inerrants? Are they, you know, soft inerrancy? Are they, you know, all these different things? Because what role did the Holy Spirit have in this?
Yeah, dude, it is Theology Thursday. We are getting close to the end of the show, so we wanted to get to the phone lines. Let's take our first call. Static.
Hi, I'm just calling in about what we were speaking about the Apocrypha. Growing up Christian, I would always ask myself that, like, what validates, like, you know, what books of the Bible and how do they decide it. And so I thank you for, like, answering those questions. I came to the conclusion when I came back to God, because I fell away for a while, that if God is the God of the universe, then I think that he could make sure that he gets his point across and he keeps it. You know what I mean? I mean, if we know who God is and we know who we are in God, then we know that he can make sure that he gets across.
Yeah. Beautifully stated. Beautifully stated.
And then also, when I didn't want to follow the Bible, is usually when I tried to invalidate it.
Right.
Especially like when it comes to like homosexuality, I think that that's one of the biggest things, because they start thinking about like translations and stuff. And I just thank you for that, because now I have answers for people who have experienced that, and I have answers for, like, I have a lot of atheist friends, and I can tell them in a way that they'll understand, because if you talk to somebody without faith,
right,
they don't get that God's the God of the universe. And so I can logically give that to them now. But I just wanted to say that, like that when it comes to, like, Scripture and, like, believing God, that it's, like, it is all about faith. And it's hard when it comes to, like, when you're trying to translate that faith to logic. And it's hard not to, like, want to lean on your own understanding.
Right.
And I just wanted to say thank you.
Right on. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, thank you. That's a word of encouragement. And, and let me actually just piggyback on a couple of things you said, because I really felt you said them in an articulate fashion.
Yeah.
Essentially, what you're saying is that, you know, if there is a God, he's not going to remain silent.
Right.
And God is going to speak. And therefore, our faith, we are saying there is a God. We have evidence that there's a God. Creation. The whole notion of yearning and hope and love and all these other non-tangible things that we see as reality. But because we see the fingerprints of God, we know that God is there. Therefore, God is speaking not only through his created order, but God is going to get his point across, as you said. And therefore, there is that faith element that we're going to say, Lord, you're going to get your point across, and your point is being conveyed first and foremost through Jesus Christ, but also through Scripture, through the testimony of these early men and early women, and obviously through creation. And then secondly, I think something that you pointed out, and I think it's good for our listeners to understand, is that you do not check your brain out when you become a Christian.
Right.
There is good, solid, reasonable evidence why we are Christians. Again, the world wants to caricaturize Christians as being, you know, no-braining, just believing anything that comes along. And in some cases, in some camps, that may be the case. But I dare say that some of the leading scholars, some of the leading thinkers in history have been Christians. And they have thought deeply, intricately, and with great insight about these topics. And then the third thing, you know, I thought that you you brought out, and it's worth commenting on, is this idea that a lot of people try to dismantle the Bible, not because the evidence is there, but because they have some sort of lifestyle disagreement with it.
Yeah.
So a lot of people may not know about Papias and the early formations of the canon. They may not know their history. They may not know their theology. But they're going to disagree with the Bible, not because the evidence is not there, but because they disagree with a conclusion the Bible makes.
Right.
And we as Christians need to call them on that. And I think you're smart in saying, listen, you're dismantling the Bible out of ignorance. What you're really saying is you disagree with some of the conclusions, but you can't dismantle that which you do not know the history of. It's more fair to say that you just disagree with the conclusions. Therefore, let's tackle those issues individually rather than trying to dismiss the Bible in totality.
Yeah, dude. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Also, I just wanted to say that I think that it's interesting that we question who created the Bible, but we never question who created, like, the theology of Darwinism, or, like, it's because that Darwinism doesn't require any responsibility from you. It doesn't require you to change. It doesn't require you to be uncomfortable. And I also find it interesting that like when I want to talk to my atheist friends about stuff that's like I've literally experienced with Christ, they don't want to hear it. But they want to talk about some theology that they weren't there to witness.
Right.
Like they didn't see it. And so I don't know. Like I just think that that it's important that we know how to communicate to people who are of faith and not of faith.
Absolutely.
And I also just wanted to say that that when it comes to speaking to people about theology and stuff, it's best to just speak to them in love no matter what, because mm-hmm. love covers a multitude of sins, and love will get through to people more than arguments.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, and you know what? I like this gal because she's actually a good thinker.
Yeah.
And what you just presented is so true.
Yeah.
What you're getting to is the core of it, and that is the authority of ideas. Scientism, materialism, Darwinism, all of those have an authority base. In the case of Darwinism, it's Darwin. And so what you're saying is if they're going to question the authority of the writers of the book, they have to question all authority,
right.
Anyone who presents an idea. So great insight and great questions that she brought up.
Absolutely. If you miss any part of Theology Thursday, you can check out the podcast. It's a free download, mysaticradio.com.
And for those interested further in the canon of Scripture, F.F. Bruce's The Canon of Scripture is one of those books that are indispensable for a general understanding. So go to Parchments if you're here in town, or go on one of the news sites out there or websites out there and get F.F. Bruce's Canon of Scripture.
You can find out more information, parchments.com. You can also just get to the Calvary Albuquerque campus, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast. That's it for us. If you are in town and you come by Parchments Bookstore, there's a huge Theology Thursday display, and we usually put up the latest and greatest when it comes to resources, so make sure you check them out.
Yeah, and one other book, From God to Us, another great book on the canonization of Scripture, From God to Us.
There it is. All right, that's it. Love God with all of your mind, people.
Mind.
It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Goodbye.
Static.